news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
On the same day that the number of deaths from the coronavirus pandemic in the United States topped 1,000, the Senate unanimously passed an unprecedented $2.2 trillion economic rescue package, with money set to go out to businesses, workers, and healthcare systems. Of course, even after three failed cloture votes, there were still a few holdouts and standoffs. Four Republican senators, Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, Rick Scott of Florida, Tim Scott of South Carolina, and Ben Sasse of Nebraska, had a problem with the provision that gave workers unemployed due to the virus an additional $600 a month on top of their regular unemployment benefits. They were claiming that unless this bill is fixed, there's a strong incentive for employees to be laid off instead of going to work. So they proposed adding an amendment that would limit unemployment benefits to 100% of a worker's salary. Bernie Sanders threatened to block the corporate slush fund portion of the bill if those four Republicans didn't back off.
When it comes to low-income workers in the midst of a terrible crisis, maybe some of them earning or having more money than they previously made. Oh, my word, we got to strip that out. Got to tell those poor people that no matter what, and by the way, when the McConnell bill first came up, they were saying that, well, we want to give $1,000 or $1,200, but poor people should get less. Well, that was addressed. Now everybody is going to get the $1,200. But some of my Republican friends still have not given up on the need to punish the poor and working people. You haven't raised the minimum wage in 10 years. Minimum wage should be at least $15 an hour. You haven't done that. You've cut program after program after program, and now, horror of horrors, for 4 months, workers might be earning a few bucks more than they otherwise went. Well, needless to say, this is an amendment that is coming up. I don't think it's going to go very far. And if it does go far, I will introduce an amendment to deal with the corporate welfare, the $500 billion in corporate welfare, which is, to me, a very serious problem. But I do not think they're going to get the 60 votes. And that will be the end of it.
Final outcome? That $600 provision is in the final bill. Chuck Schumer also delayed it while language for that $500 billion fund was fixed. You see, a Democratic aide said that the Republicans had left out of the final draft a provision that would force the Treasury Department and Federal Reserve to publish weekly lists of the names of the companies and others financed through that $500 billion loan program established in the legislation. Without this language, the aide said, the information could have been kept secret from the public. So the bill was delayed until the provision was added back at Schumer's request and a new draft bill was sent around to Hill offices. The two sides had previously agreed to the language. But progressives are still not happy with the final bill, as many see a repeat of a windfall for Wall Street and big business with little to no oversight, similar to what occurred in 2008 with the TARP bailout. Zach Carter, senior reporter at HuffPost, wrote of the bill, quote, "The emergency coronavirus legislation that the Senate agreed to on Tuesday can only be described as an outrage. It is not an economic rescue package, but a sentence of unprecedented economic inequality and corporate control over our politics that will resonate for a generation. It represents a transfer of wealth and power to the super rich from the rest of us with the support of both political parties, a damning statement about the condition of American democracy," end quote. The House is due to vote on it Friday, but since several House members have tested positive for the virus, many are pushing for a voice vote, something unprecedented in U.S. history. Stay tuned. So here's the latest. As of Thursday morning, more than 474,000 people have been sickened worldwide and over 21,000 have died from the virus. And the areas most deeply in crisis keep shifting. Spain now has more coronavirus deaths than China. Well, than China has reported. Second only to Italy. Japan and New Zealand have recorded their largest single-day spikes in diagnoses. Coronavirus has also reached the UK's royal family, which announced that 71-year-old Prince Charles has tested positive. In the US, an epidemiologist says virus deaths could reach their peak in 3 weeks. The American epicenter of the outbreak is New York City, where the number of cases is doubling about every 3 days. U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper has ordered a 60-day freeze on all troop movements overseas to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. The group of seven foreign ministers held an emergency meeting on the pandemic on Wednesday, but failed to agree on a joint statement because the other countries balked at the Trump administration's insistence on referring to the outbreak as the Wuhan virus. This according to the Washington Post, who cited three officials from G7 countries. Representatives of other industrialized nations in the group viewed the term as too divisive for a moment when world leaders need to work together to slow the pandemic. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the term was appropriate because the outbreak began in the Chinese city of Wuhan and the country's government didn't warn the rest of the world quickly enough. Unbelievable. Meanwhile, Donald Trump continues bucking the rest of the civilized world and pushing for an end to the nationwide social distancing practices that health professionals say are essential to saving lives. And some of Trump's Fox sycophants have said they'd be willing to die to save the economy. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading expert on infectious diseases, spoke about Trump's ridiculous quest to send everyone back to work by Easter.
You've got to be realistic. And you've got to understand that you don't make the timeline. The virus makes the timeline. Mm. So you've got to respond in what you see happen. And if you keep seeing this acceleration, it doesn't matter what you say, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you've got to go with what the situation on the ground is. So when people say it may take months, I think what people are talking about is how long it takes to go all the way down. But you may see in a relatively shorter period of time, when you're seeing the inkling of the flattening and coming down. But, you know, you can't make an arbitrary decision until right. You see what you're dealing with. You need the data.
And finally, U.S. weekly jobless claims for unemployment compensation were expected to hit a record-breaking $1.5 million for the week ending March 21st. Instead, it was more than double that number, with a truly record-breaking 3.28 million unemployment claims filed. By way of comparison, the previous high was 695,000 back in October of 1982. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I really could use your help. My work is 100% listener supported. And due to the crisis, a lot of the monthly subscriptions have dropped off. If you're in a position to help, I hope you will. Please visit NicoleSandler.com and click on that donate button.